Welcome to BitCast on Podcast One, the video game podcast with the Axeman.
Welcome back to the BitCast. When I'm not playing video games, I like to keep up with the culture surrounding my favorite games. One way for me to do that is to watch videos of Let's Plays on YouTube. A lot of YouTube gamers are pretty well known these days, to the point where a few of them can make a living off it. One of my favorite groups of Let's Players is the Runaway Guys. They're these three popular Let's Players who all joined up to play video games together back in 2011. The team consists of Chugga Conroy, Nintendo Capri Sun, and Proton John. All three of them are fairly big names in YouTube Let's Play. I recently watched them play through The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes, and I thought it was about time they visited that game. It's almost like it was tailor-made for the group. It's interesting to see the trio finally tackle it, and because I watched them playing that game, it really got me thinking about my own time spent with the game. In fact, it's actually because of Proton John that I got the game in the first place when I watched him playing it with a few other people before the Runaway Guys got around to it. The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes is a bit of an oddball compared to the other Zelda games. It goes back to the emphasis on multiplayer that Four Swords and Four Swords Adventures had, but this time it's even more important. Like Four Swords and Four Swords Adventures, you can play Triforce Heroes on your own, but it's a lot harder to manage than in those games. You get all three Links under your control, but you can only move one at a time, and the other two are completely immobile whenever you're not controlling them. The puzzles in this game have a heavy emphasis on cooperation and timing, so a single player isn't really going to get a lot of fun out of this. That said, 3 is also a bit of an awkward number. In most cases, multiplayer stops at having 2 players or 4 players, and then you'll get the odd game with limits that go even higher than 4, but I've never heard of a 3-way video game. Zelda's always used 3 as kind of a magic number before, but not in the way of having 3 players. So having 3 people ready to go and play this game all at once can be a bit of a challenge. You might have more than 2 spare people who can play, or you might only have 1 person who is able to play the game. Now, if you don't want to play alone and you don't have available partners, you can still use the online feature to round out the team with strangers, but that only works if your Wi-Fi is stable, and who knows when the Nintendo 3DS Wi-Fi will get cancelled. It's already happened to the Wii and the Nintendo DS, after all. If you can get past the game's cumbersome setup, it's actually pretty fun. All the puzzles are very smartly designed. They make good use of the fact that you have 3 players. That's something that I've really noticed with Zelda games, is that they have really good level design. Not always, it's not a perfect 10 across the board, but more often than not, I'm really impressed with how much thought goes into the layout of certain dungeons, and how they keep in mind what different abilities you could have at different moments. It really allows for some complicated and creative puzzles as the game goes on. In one of the later worlds, you have this gimmick where you have platforms, but only the Link of the corresponding color can stand on them. And right next to that is a platform that can only be touched by another Link. So you have to pick up and carry your teammates strategically, and take turns doing this until you've all made it across the platforms. And, you know, you have your usual Zelda items, you got the bows, the bombs, the boomerangs, all that fun stuff. What makes the game even more creative is the wardrobe, though. And Triforce Heroes has this motif of fashion. It takes place in a kingdom where everyone is really fashion-forward and all that kind of stuff. So you have to get these materials at the ends of every level, and you do that and create new outfits, and they all have different effects. Some of them will empower your different weapons and items. Others will make it easier to deal with things like slippery ice or bottomless pits. Others will make your sword stronger, or they'll change the amount of hit points you have. There are 36 different outfits in the game, and the two extra ones added in an update afterward add even more fun and references. Each outfit requires a certain amount of ingredients and a bit of a fee, and that means you'll have to work for some of them. How much of that is a good thing or not depends entirely on how much you want to go back and revisit the levels with different players, though. Triforce Heroes lives and dies with how often you decide you want to replay the levels. To beat the game, you really only need to beat the boss stages in each of the 8 worlds. But to get the most out of Triforce Heroes, you need to do all 4 stages in each world to familiarize yourself with the different level gimmicks and earn different materials. But there's more to that. After defeating the boss in each region, you unlock special challenge versions of the same levels, and when you do those, you have the option of completing them with an added condition thrown in, like you have to do it all in a time limit, or you have to do it without taking any damage at all, or you don't even have your sword with you. All kinds of stressful challenges to really make you think about how much you take different things for granted in this game. And these hard levels are responsible for a lot of the extra treasures of the game. You find materials for costumes that you don't get by just playing the normal levels. You have to do all the levels, and then you have to do them all even on hard mode if you really want all the costumes. To make things even more, well, let's say interesting, at the end of every level, there's a bit of a roulette, well, not really a roulette, but it's a game of chance. You have 3 treasure chests, and each of the players gets to pick one. 2 of them will have a common material, the 3rd one will have a rare material. And you only get 1 shot at this. If you want the material that's rare, or the common material that you couldn't get, then you gotta replay the level if you didn't get it the first time, or if you needed another one. And you honestly need the common materials just as much as you need the rare materials. So you can be kind of messed up if you only get rare materials and suddenly you can't even make some of the basic helpful costumes. It's really kind of devious when you get down to it. One other little twist that they throw in is that you get these certain points for having trouble deciding the levels and the world you want to go to. You get an option, and the game picks best out of 3 where you all want to go, and if you decide that you can't pick, you pick the option that says, "I can't decide," the game will decide that you're so heroic for not wanting to enforce your opinion, and they'll give you a point for it. So some coordinated players like to gather together and pretend they can't decide while a 3rd player just picks, and then they'll rake in the points for being unable to decide, and these points make it easier to buy one of the costumes. They also make it easier to use one of the weaker costumes in the game, make it a little tougher. So there's a bit of strategy and depth to not just playing the game, but also how you want to go about playing it with your partners, with elements of luck thrown in as well. A lot of people would just write this off as a weird Zelda handheld game and a pale imitation of Four Swords, but if you're into it and you have good partners, this is really a game that I'd say is worth looking into. To be entirely honest, I never had the smoothest runs with this game. It seemed like no matter what, at least one of the players involved would have to be babysit by the other 2. Sometimes it would even be me. I'd have to be looked after by the other 2 players. One of my friends and I fondly look back on our time with this game. We played it with a 3rd guy over the internet. We didn't know him at all. His name was Ronnie, and he just didn't seem to be able to figure out how the game worked. Somehow we made it to the end of the stage, even though Ronnie couldn't stay alive for the life of him, and we just always kind of look back and wonder, whatever happened to Ronnie? I hope he's doing well. Maybe this was his first Zelda game, I don't know, or maybe he was just having a bad day. I know I certainly have bad days when I just lose all my ability to play video games. I'm not an amazing video game player, I fully admit that. Other times I'd play the game with friends over Skype, and we'd get kind of silly about it. We'd ignore teamwork and just try to mess with each other a little bit. I kind of got a little evil with the game. And there's this one time I remember where we were doing this level based on a tilting platform, and wherever you stood on it, it made the platform heavier, but we had to take advantage of the weight to attack the mid-boss of the level, and they were just falling over and over, and I just stood back in the safe spot and laughed like a maniac because I was actually useless in the fight. I had nothing that would have made it any easier, so I just stayed there and avoided the danger so that I wouldn't contribute to the team dying. But that also meant I didn't contribute to them winning, so I just got a front row seat to that. Oh, the word sand dune really got on my friend's bad side after that night. Oh, that was... It's fun to just mess around in games with friends. I really do think that winning and losing as a team is a lot more fun than winning and losing on your own when it comes to video games. It's too bad that this didn't last, because by the time I was ready to finish Triforce Heroes, none of my friends were really available to play the game anymore, and I was getting kind of impatient. Looked like we weren't really going to have our chance. So I just started playing with some strangers on the internet to get through the final few stages, and they were actually pretty decently challenging. I think that the game ended on a high note for what it was trying to do. I don't know how I like the atmosphere of the final world, but it's a little different than how games usually go, so I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I think I've said enough about how the game is difficult to play, because it is, and there are a few different ways, but you kind of get the picture by now. You have to have a certain setup to even get the game started, and the costume and material system can be a little repetitive if you're not willing to go through it. Those are two pretty big factors, but I will say the final factor, the third one, how fitting in a game all about threes, the third thing that might keep people from really enjoying this game is the fact that this is the silliest Zelda game of them all. People threw a fit over Wind Waker because they thought that game looked silly, but Wind Waker managed to prove itself and have some surprisingly mature and bold ideas and moments. This is a Saturday morning cartoon. Surface level, what you see is what you get. Sometime after Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, that game's Link goes to travel the world as a hero. He ends up in the fashion-forward kingdom of Hytopia. The princess is cursed to wear an ugly backup dancer skin suit thing because a witch was jealous of how fashionable she was. And only people who look like Link may enter the dreaded Drablands and hunt for the witch. Really, that's it. That's the plot. There's no twist. There's no real gravity. It's... like I said, what you see is what you get. I mean, being cursed to always wear a tight suit like that is actually pretty horrible, but the game plays it for comedy. Like I said, this is Zelda at its silliest. At the very beginning, you have the option to refer to something as Totes Adorbs. Zelda game. Sequel to Link Between Worlds. Totes Adorbs. If you've come to Triforce Heroes for any of Legend of Zelda's storytelling or characterization, you've come to the wrong game. But personally, I don't mind it. It's pretty obvious that the whole game is just an excuse to have three players cooperate in Zelda puzzles with each other, and I think the game did its job just fine. Really smart puzzles, creative weapon placement, and a wardrobe of game-changing costumes that all make the whole experience pretty fun. The only thing that might turn people off of the gameplay is the shared health. All three of the Links are connected to the same health meter, so you can't bully your teammates whenever you feel like it. I actually like that system, because this is a game all about cooperation, so you don't want to just kill each other all the time, or else you'll never make any progress ever. Though this does add some stress to some of the harder stages. Most of the time when I played this, it was with people I knew, so I'd focus on keeping a conversation going, As a result, I didn't really get to listen to the soundtrack as I played, at least not until the last stretch of stages, when I was playing with complete strangers. And that's a shame, because Triforce Heroes actually has a pretty cool soundtrack. It was done by Ryu Nagamatsu, who'd worked on several Mario soundtracks in the past, as well as the A Link Between Worlds soundtrack. It makes use of a lot of accordion, and the compositions are new and enjoyable. The game doesn't rely on past music, with one exception. In the multiplayer lobby, there's a special ball you can summon, and if you keep it afloat, it'll play a random song from a previous Zelda game, kind of like a hidden Easter egg. Today's favorite songs include the boss theme, the ocean theme, and the first phase of the final battle theme. The boss theme makes interesting use of bagpipes, and it sets the mood for exciting monsters that you have to team up and destroy. The ocean theme, it plays in World 2, the water area. It's relaxing and actually kind of somber. It's unlike a lot of the rest of the game's music. It almost serves to remind you that despite everything, you're still rescuing a princess from a torturous situation who's suffering all day, every day, until you and your two companions can put an end to the witch's ways. The final boss's first phase makes extensive use of accordion, and it sounds lively and fun. Most battle themes are really dramatic, or they're really exciting, but this one is different from the rest. It's more playful than anything, almost as if to suggest that the witch doesn't really see you as any kind of serious threat, this is just a game to her. Already, the villain in this game is far more unique than a lot of the monsters or the versions of Ganon that Link usually encounters. I'm actually alright with the witch. And that about sums up Triforce Heroes and my experience with it. I'm not sure if I'll ever revisit the game, because honestly, I just got it for peer pressure reasons. A lot of Let's Players I watched were going through the game, so I thought, hey, I want to play it too, so I know what they're going through. And that's not really a good reason to get a game. Even if it was fun, I mean, I at least liked the game, and I would recommend it if you've got two other Zelda fans with 3DSs. I thought it was pretty good, but not in my top 5 Zeldas. Maybe someday I'll get to try this game all over again, and maybe someday I'll get to sort out how I feel about the Zelda series as a whole, because this is now the second time I've talked about a Zelda game on the BitCast, and neither time were they really my favorites in the series. But for now, this is where I stand on Triforce Heroes. Thanks for listening to this BitCast episode. If you want to hear more, why not consider subscribing? You can also get the episodes off iTunes if you want. I've been the Axeman, and I'll see you on the next one.
Listen to BitCast anytime on podcast1.com and on the Podcast One app.